You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 37. This is your manual to becoming the amazing homeschool mom you were called to be.
Okay, welcome back.
Hey guys.
This is our last episode for the year.
Yes, before Christmas and all that good stuff.
So, yes, yeah. We are going to take the next 2 weeks off, and we are going to enjoy our families for Christmas and for New Year's.
And we hope you will too.
Yes.
You can stop thinking about homeschooling for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We give you permission.
Yeah. And like your kids will be okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think they'll survive it.
Yeah.
Actually, I think they'll love it.
Yeah.
So today's topic is goals.
Yes.
Isn't that perfect for coming into the new year?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Because who doesn't set goals in January? Actually, there are a lot of people that don't.
I was going to say, I bet there are quite a few people
who don't. Lots of people that don't. But we want to talk about them because we like them.
Yeah,
and they're good. They're good things.
So if we both have the same goal, though, why, if like Karin and I both want to try out for the Olympics, because that's legit, and why would like Karin make it and I wouldn't if we had the same goal, right? Like, is it that Karin's just her goal was bigger or better than mine?
Well, if not, if they were the same, but I think it would be your follow through or your how you set about trying to accomplish that goal,
right?
And whether or not you'd achieve it.
Your plan or your system,
yeah,
right?
Your system. That's the word.
Yeah, it's okay. And so when you have a goal, a lot of times it's so great. You're like, oh my gosh, I would really love to dot, dot, dot. And then it's like, I'm not going to do anything about it though. Or I'm not even going to create a plan of how to do it. So your goal essentially is just a wish.
Right.
Like, yeah. Oh, I'd wish for $1 million instead of saying, I have a goal to make $1 million and here's a way I think it could work, how I could do it. I'm going to sell a lot of plasma. I'm just kidding.
Plasma. Not me.
No, I've never done it. Have you ever done it?
I did in college.
You did?
I hate to admit that. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, I was pretty broke and I needed extra money.
Did you make very much money?
I don't remember how much it was, but it was like worth it to me at the time. I only did it a few times.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Because I don't even like giving blood, so.
That's funny. Well, congrats on that goal. So it didn't make you $1 million then?
Oh, nope.
Yeah. So we love the book Atomic Habits.
Yeah.
And Karin and I have both talked about that book.
Such a good one.
And
who's the author of that again?
Oh, Karin's going to tell
really
us
quick.
In a second.
Yes.
It is one of my books that is all marked up that I love in a good way, marked up. But he talks a lot about creating a system to
James
complete your goals.
Clear. Sorry to interrupt you.
Okay.
The author.
It's a good one. I believe it only comes in hardback.
I think so at this point, or Audible. I've listened to it.
Okay. I like a book.
I prefer books as well. I actually listened and then bought it.
Oh,
sometimes
you?
I do that when they're really good.
Yes, because I wanted to highlight this one.
So I listened to it, and then I went back and reread it in physical form.
But what I really like with his thought approach is sometimes we think of our goal like, hey, I want to lose 20 pounds. And then you go and you create a system for it and then you reach your 20 pounds and it's like, now what? I'm going to gain back that 20 pounds plus five more. And so he really talks about instead of saying I'm going to just lose 20 pounds, I'm actually going to have a goal to become a healthy person.
Right.
And as a byproduct, eventually I'm going to lose 20 pounds. And so he kind of takes that paradigm shift of like, if your goal this year is I'm going to be more positive and more patient with my children, like, okay, I'm not going to yell for a month versus like no yell November, but instead of having just that like 1 month goal of like, I'm just going to become a patient mom.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just kind of shifting your mindset a bit. And I like to think of it this. I remember when I was reading it, I was trying to train for a half marathon or something.
Yeah.
And he uses an example of becoming a runner. He's like, okay, so say your goal is to run a half marathon. You would have to say, what would a runner do? And how do I act like a runner? And so I had to, in my mind, think, okay, if I'm going to be this runner, I have to set this system and this routine. And each day I have to get up and I have to put on my running shoes. And that's the first step to getting out the door. And, you know, I loved his little system that he puts in place. And there's little systems and those small little tiny things will lead to what you actually want to accomplish.
Yeah. We did that. I don't know if you saw it when back in November with the No Yell November group, one of my favorite things of my own is like, I'm an amazing mom and I'm just going to do what an amazing mom would do.
Right.
And a mom had a kid, I don't know, throw a tantrum, destroy something. And she was like, how would an amazing mom handle this situation?
Yeah, I remember
and so
that
she
conversation.
Was like, yeah. So it was so cool that she was like, Okay. An amazing mom, first of all, is not going to lose her mind. Mm-hmm. And second of all, she's going to be able to assess the situation and right. help. It was two little kids fighting. That's what it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And she waited and found out the kid she was going to get after hadn't done anything. And she's like, I almost just got after somebody who was completely innocent.
For no reason. Yeah.
So yeah, I love that one. Like, I'm just an amazing mom doing what an amazing mom would do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I have a little sign on my fridge. It says, be the mom you want them to remember.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like my little, okay, be that mom, be the mom you really want to be and that you want your kids to remember.
Yeah.
That's my little focus.
That's a really good one.
So along with goal setting, mm-hmm. goals are great. And there's in our church, there's a new little program that's coming out for the kids ages 8 and up.
Yes.
And it's
ripoff of the hippie mom.
And Megan says it's a ripoff of her plan because she's been doing this for years. We both have been doing something similar, just different forms of it for years, where you have goals in different categories. Mm-hmm. And I love this because I think it's really important to, it helps you to be a well-rounded person when you have goals in different areas in your life. And our church is one, they have four. It's spiritual, social, physical, and mental. In my family, we've been doing mind, body, and soul. Mm-hmm. And then Megan's got her own. You want to explain that?
Femsis's, where it has been financial, emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, social.
Right.
And she's so got we added two more categories of just being as well-rounded as humanly mm-hmm. possible.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's a really great concept to have. You know, what are the different areas you or your children need to work on in your lives, and you set goals for each of those different areas instead of just one big, like, here's my goal for the new year. You know, you have, here's my list of areas I need to work on in my life. So it's an important way to think, you know, just a little differently about goal setting.
Yeah, and really becoming balanced in all of those mm-hmm. areas, whether it's the four, the three, the six, of just really encompassing it all.
Yeah.
So my husband does finances, right? And so he's just like, finances are so important.
Right.
But if that's your only focus and you've saved away every penny, then maybe you don't have as much growth physically because you're working all the time and you're mm-hmm. exhausted and you're stressed. Mm-hmm. And so it starts, all of them start overlapping. And I think that's why it's beautiful to have a balance within them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just thought it'd be fun to just kind of brainstorm a couple of goals you could set for each of those different areas. Yeah. We can just do the four just to kind of simplify it. Unless you want. We can do all of Megan's. She just has so many. No, I'm just teasing. No, they're all good.
How could you not want femcises?
So tell me a financial goal that you would set with your children.
With my children. Mm-hmm. So my oldest is planning on serving a mission mm-hmm. this next year. And so we told him he needs to have $4,000 saved. And so his goal is to have $4,000 in his savings account, that it is his no touching savings account.
That's great.
Some of their other goals are tracking their spending mm-hmm. of just getting in that, because we want to create the habit of being somebody who is financially stable.
Yeah.
And so everything that when we are doing this, it is about creating good habits. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like sometimes our kids will be like, why? Mm-hmm. Why do I need to do this? This is stupid. This is lame. And it's like, okay, thank you for your observation, but it is about creating good habits so that by having these little tiny habits, it's what makes up most of your day. Mm-hmm. It's not these big monumental moments.
Right.
It's these little small moments. Putting out your running mm-hmm. shoes, mm-hmm. going running when you don't feel like it, homeschooling, reading aloud when you're exhausted, mm-hmm. doing these tiny little things are what's going to make the biggest change overall.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, that's for my kids.
That reminds me, have you ever heard of Fly Lady?
No.
It's like this cleaning system that I used it for a little while. But her main thing is every single day you need to wipe down your sink till it shines. And if as long as you get that one single thing done every day, that's the most important. And I loved that because it was just this concept of like, oh, that's a simple thing. I can wipe down my sink every day. But that also means that your dishes are done. Mm. And so, you know, it like leads to other things. Because you're like, well, if my sink is clean, it has to be empty.
Yeah.
And then, anyway, it just is like that's one cute. Small little habit can change so many things.
Yeah. So we'll do the four.
No, it's okay. What's your E? Emotional?
E is emotional.
Okay.
So we had a perfect example this last week. My cute Brigham lost his mind because we played a game mm-hmm. and he didn't win. And so whenever he is not winning a game, he throws a fit and cries. And Karen mm-hmm. talked about, was it your brother that did this?
Yes, my little brother, my brother just younger than me. When he was young, every time we would play a game and he wouldn't win, he would get mad and he would just knock over the whole board game mm-hmm. and just yell and storm and stomp out. and it would end it for all of us.
Yeah.
It was so frustrating.
Yeah. So like having a goal, the end game goal before our kids leave the house mm-hmm. is that they take 100% responsibility with their emotions.
Okay.
But that's a lot different for my 18-year-old versus my 8-year-old.
Right. Of course.
So my 8-year-old, it's a little thing, mm-hmm. right? Which always, like we're saying, becomes a big thing. Mm-hmm. So if my 8-year-old can learn, first of all, to be excited for somebody else for winning.
Yeah.
We've talked about that, like being excited for Karen for doing something great, be excited right. for me for doing something, like that's a really awesome friendship.
Definitely.
In your marriage, like not competing against each other, mm-hmm. but like, oh, you did that amazing. I would have loved to
so
have done
proud
that,
of you.
But I'm proud of you yeah. for your efforts. Yeah. Porter's faster than me running. A little bit of me is like, oh, that hurts. But at the same time, I'm super excited for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, definitely.
Like that's amazing. He had a 6:12 this morning.
Oh, holy cow.
I know, he came in and
that
I was like.
That is so fast.
I don't want to go, oh, my 6:50 is looking real sad.
6:50 is amazing. You guys are yeah. fast runners at your house.
Well, anyway.
I might have done an 11.
Yeah, you did. I didn't do a 6:50 this morning.
Oh, okay.
That was like a couple days ago.
Okay,
that's just
okay.
My
that makes
highest.
Me feel a little bit better.
No, girl. I wish.
All right. Yeah. I like the emotional goal, though. That's something I wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah, so
setting
like
goals
not
for that.
If your kid's yelling at each other, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. we even had somebody struggling with calling names, mm-hmm. and we like, this is kind of a poignant, and I wasn't trying to be mean, but hopefully you can hear my heart behind what I'm saying. But she was just attacking, she was just attacking her siblings. And I thought, do you really want to be the reason your siblings don't come home for Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
Can you think
in
about
the future?
In the future, mm-hmm. like if you are have a sibling you struggle with and you're like, you know what? I'd rather not come home for Christmas
because
of this one uh-huh. person. And I just looked at her and I said, do you want to be that person? And she was like, oh, I didn't realize what the effect my words mm-hmm. were having on my siblings emotionally.
That's a great thing. I like that.
I know it was a little harsh. It was kind of a come to Jesus.
No, you know
talk.
What though? I think that's a really good, important thing for kids to recognize. And I have one of my daughters has been going through a lot of emotions for her whole life. Mm-hmm. She's a very emotional person and just breaks down easily. And she, just the past few months, I've noticed a big change in how she's been reacting to things and not having such emotional breakdowns. And I mentioned it to her and she said, yeah, a lot of the classes I'm taking in my homeschool group, Megan's teaching this awesome class in the youth. And there's a couple of others that are teaching her some of these skills about how to manage your thoughts and your emotions. And it's really sinking in for her.
That's
and
awesome.
It's been really cool to see that change in her and to recognize it. And the fact that I pointed it out to her, I think meant a lot to her too. And she said, I've been trying really hard.
Yeah.
So it's neat to see that. Like for instance, I asked her to help clean up in the playroom, which she doesn't make most of the mess in the playroom. It's the younger kids that do, but I need her help often to get the job done because the younger kids aren't good cleaners.
Right.
And normally she would just huff and storm and complain. And she said, sure. She walked out and did it. And I kind of just watched it in shock because it wasn't her normal reaction. And so I commented on that. And she said, yeah. And you know what? It's so much easier to respond in a positive way. And it was so cool. I was like, yes, finally, she's getting it. And it's nice to see your kids recognize those things.
Yeah. So I think it's good too to teach them that it's okay to feel sad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not our responsibility or a job as a mom to make them feel happy.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I just want to feel sad. We talked about books and we cried in books,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's like enjoying that experience of tears, of the heartbreak, a death in the book, a death of in real life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just want to feel sad. And if you had somebody like, like time to be happy, you'd be like, I want to punch you in the face, right? And so to me, I'd rather teach my kid like, yeah, sometimes you feel sad and it's okay to feel
sad. Emotions are good and expected and normal.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. to not buffer or like, let's go eat now or look at pornography or go yell at somebody, but like, just feel
whatever
sad.
Whatever your coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways, that's why I threw
that's
an emotional
good one. I like it a lot. And then M, mental.
Yeah,
so
they had that in the church's one
right,
as well.
And we had that in ours as well. So mental, I think anything you want to learn, really. There's so many amazing goals you can set here. You know, a new skill you want to learn, a new
music, I thought of
right,
too.
Music, dance. You know, there's so many things that you can want to learn. I want to learn to play the piano still. It's been my goal.
You just talked about that yesterday.
For about most of my life. And it's funny, I just have never put in the effort to make it happen.
Right.
And never made a plan for myself to do it. And it's still something that I think someday I would like to learn.
That's interesting that you just said that though. Like,
oh, I know.
You want it. You have
I was saying that I started out as a music major in college.
Because we should have Karen sing
for vocal performance was my major my first semester in college. And I went there and I loved singing so much that, okay, this is what I want to do with my life. So I get there and I'm taking all these classes, which were fun, but it was my whole entire life.
Yeah.
And it suddenly started taking the joy out of it. And it started suddenly started becoming just this, I don't know, a chore. And I didn't want my favorite thing to become a chore. And so I changed my major. And one of the things I had to do was to learn to play the piano. I had to take a piano class. And that was a really hard thing for me at that time. And I didn't have time to practice. And it was just a big challenge for me. So that was one of the reasons I changed my major, because I didn't want to learn to play the piano or put in the effort once again. But yeah, kind of sad, but true.
Yeah. But we have with our mental goals too, of getting your schoolwork done on time.
Oh,
Being able to focus
I like that.
On getting your schoolwork done. My cute little Tess has been absorbed. She's been rereading Fablehaven and Dragon Watch, like just over and over again. So just learning to prioritize.
Yes.
Because she's like, okay, I'll just read a chapter
we
and
have
then
to
I'll
do that too.
And I, was like,
I have to pull them away from the books they're not supposed to be reading to get them to read the books they are supposed to be reading. But that can be a
challenge.
That's
one of ours too with mental.
And I like to set a number of books to read per year goal for myself every year.
That's awesome.
I don't know if any of you are on Goodreads, but it's one of my favorite platforms for just kind of logging and recording books that I read. For me, like I've said in the past, I have a terrible memory. So sometimes I have to go look at Goodreads to see if I've read that book before, because I can't remember if I've actually read it. I was at my book club this week and they were talking about this book that one of the ladies loved. And I was like, that sounds familiar. And I went and looked and I had read it. And
you didn't remember
it. I mean, vaguely. That's my brain. It's really sad.
That's funny.
But I like in there, it has like a tracking system for the number of, and you set a goal within there. So you can like track your goal. And it's a fun way to just keep track of that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, do you want to do, I guess?
Oh, yeah.
My next one is physical.
Physical seems to be one of the most common goals people set in the new year. Weight loss.
Yeah, I was going to say it's always weight loss.
Everyone wants to lose weight all the time. And so that's kind of a common goal that people set. And I think it's a very feasible goal. People lose weight all the time.
But
if you set that goal to lose weight and then you don't do anything, you don't change anything, you're not gonna accomplish that goal.
But if you don't actually change who you are, you won't keep off the weight.
That's true. Yeah, you may lose the weight, you may lose 20 pounds, and then you keep eating exactly the same, or you go back to eating the way you were. It's just gonna come right back. And I can say that is true, because I've done that.
Yeah,
a lot of people I know have done that. But yeah, you have to change within you, and you have to make it a new system and something that continues, not just like a short-term thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true with anything.
You know what's interesting about this one? A total side tangent. After I had baby number 7, so I would have a baby and I would drop the weight.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'd go on a exercise and eat really, really well, because I just knew I was getting pregnant again.
Yeah.
And then I'd get pregnant and I'm like, woohoo, I can eat whatever I want. After baby number 7, I was like an alcoholic that was like, no, this has to be my lifestyle. And I've struggled like, forever. Mm-hmm. This is, and it's been interesting of making that choice of actually becoming a healthy person versus just losing a pound.
Yeah. And it is a big difference.
It's a huge difference.
And that's something I actually struggle with too, because I eat very healthy.
Yeah.
Except for desserts. I am obsessed with sugar and I just like can't quit it. But I eat so healthy all the other times.
Yeah.
Like every meal is super healthy. I eat lots of greens and fruits and veggies. But then I like pig out on sweets. And it's like this crazy like addiction that I have. And so I have to like make that mental shift somehow, somewhere in my brain that it's not good for me. And I know that. But I somehow can't like turn that switch off.
Oh, that's interesting. With my kids,
it's my dirty little secret.
Yeah, it's not dirty. For our kids, our kids are like Karen and mine, but I meant my kids with my husband. One of my pet peeves is using the wrong pronoun. My husband will say we, but he's meaning himself and another person, but he's saying we, and he's when he's standing next to me. And like, we had this amazing time on this trip. And I was like, oh, he doesn't mean me, even though he's using the pronoun we while I'm standing here. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, that is
funny. That drives me funny. Anyways, my children, one of the goals with physical is to get into the habit of exercise,
mm-hmm.
of being like going for a walk, a bike ride. Most of my kids CrossFit.
Yeah.
So just getting in that goals, Porter runs, Ethan loves biking. He really loves biking. But Brennan hikes everywhere.
Brennan hikes and bikes a lot too. He bikes everywhere too.
Oh yeah, he does, because that's what we saw him the one day. Right. But like just getting into the habit of a healthy person exercises. Mm-hmm. Most of my kids don't eat treats. I don't eat treats. That's
She's
for
amazing.
A full episode on a different day. That's called stubbornness.
Oh.
But so that's just like trying to have healthy habits.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's some of the stuff we would do. You know what we do for my kids too is hygiene goals with physical.
Oh, that's good.
Especially
that's good.
Teens.
Yeah, that's pre-teens. Really important.
As they stink.
Preteens. Yes. When they're learning how. Yes. It's good.
So
learning how to
we
wear deodorant every day and take a shower and clean your nails and all those good things.
We have good stuff. Doing your own laundry and stuff like that with
physical.
Yeah,
same. That's awesome. Okay. And the next, what, social?
Yes.
Social goals. I think with homeschooling,
we don't talk to other people.
Oh, we don't have friends, so we don't need any socialization, right? No. I think these are just as important as any other goal, but I think it's good for kids to learn. One thing I try to teach my kids is to befriend those who need a friend.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've been super impressed with my oldest. He does this so
He's
well,
really good at it.
So
my
well.
Kids love doing it.
And I compliment him often on it because it's something that I think that he should keep. And I want him to continue, but he does such a good job of just reaching out to those people that just maybe just don't quite fit in very well. And he just becomes their friends and he genuinely enjoys them and spends time with them out of his own choice. And I love it. And so I think it's a really good skill that sometimes that comes naturally to people, but you can teach that as well.
But Brandon's also good at connecting. Like Porter and my Bella are very different personalities and he can connect both with them,
Yeah.
And like Porter likes memes and like normal 16-year-old boy things and Bella is 15-year-old girl. And so like he can connect with both of them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a beautiful skill of being able to be like, okay, great. I can connect easily with Connor.
I know what you like. So I'll talk to you about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But being able to be like, oh, I actually don't know about this. And Brennan has talked to me this in my classes before. When he talks to somebody, he treats them as if he can learn something.
Yeah.
And I love that. Brennan,
I love that too.
Stuck with me. He told me that years ago. I was like, who is this kid? Of course it's Karen's son. He's amazing.
Oh, thanks. And I just heard this young man from our church speaking the other day. And he was talking about how at high school, he would go every week during lunch or every day during lunch, he would just try to find someone sitting alone and go and sit with them. And I thought that was the coolest thing. And it really stuck with me. I've been thinking about it actually all week long because it's not something I'm comfortable with.
You're introverted.
I am very introverted and I'm very comfortable just going and finding an alone spot to sit and not talking to anybody because it's easier rather than finding someone else alone and talking to them to make them feel comfortable. And even when I try, I don't know what to say to people sometimes. I'm just kind of not a very talky person, which is surprising.
You are if you're comfortable.
If I'm comfortable.
And,
here I am
yourself.
With nobody behind that camera pretending, and I can chat all I want. But if I think about the hundreds of people that listen, then I'm very uncomfortable.
That's funny.
No, but so it's something I've been thinking a lot about and something that I'd like to develop because I think it would be a good thing to be able to be comfortable reaching out to more people, and especially those that are alone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. I like that. Yes. We have in there things like I have kids who don't get out very much. So we encourage them to connect more.
Yeah. Going to social gatherings that might be hard for some people.
But then I have some kids who only want to go to social gatherings. And so learning that balance, like, so my 8-year-old, he picked the day he can go play with friends 4 days a week, but 3 days a week, he just needs to be home. But he would get antsy.
Like he just couldn't handle
that. Yeah, like who am I going to go with? Who am I going to go with? But if he just knew I can't go with anybody today, he could relax.
Oh, that's funny.
So it's just, he's just learning that skill.
Yeah.
But I like that what Karen was saying. We took it to that level. But yours are very specific and I like that. But like what could I do for somebody else today as part of social? Mm-hmm. How can I brighten somebody's day?
Yeah. And then the final is a spiritual goal. And again, these can be really varied.
Yeah.
For my kids, I like to help them learn to set their own spiritual routines, such as praying, their own personal prayers, and their own scripture reading, and reading religious books. Getting used to church attendance so that they know that that's just a part of a routine that they can continue, and make it a part of like a habit of life.
Yeah.
And I don't know what you do with your kids.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, mine are really good about reading their scriptures on school days.
Oh,
but yeah, they're not great about reading it on their own.
Okay.
So trying to develop the skill, we're even trying just one extra day a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like 7 days a week, we need perfect attendance. Like right, that would be fantastic, but it's obviously not working.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just trying for one extra day a week to read their scriptures.
Yeah, that's
say
good.
Their morning and night prayers. For us, attend the temple, those types of things.
Same.
Family history work. Something like that that's spiritual level, attending church,
right,
all those types of things.
Yeah. And I think with any of like this one, along with any other, when you do something routinely and regularly, it becomes a habit and it becomes a part of your, you know, just your regular expected part of your life. And the more frequently you do it, the more it's just going to come.
Well, I was thinking about this. This is totally funny. So I'm deciding whether or not to go gray.
Oh, we've talked about this.
And like, am I willing to commit once a month to coloring my roots?
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about it. I shave my legs every day to every other day.
Oh, wow.
I cannot stand hairy legs.
That's funny.
It doesn't feel like a chore. It doesn't feel like work. My husband's never even commented because they've never been hairy. But like, it's not even about him. I don't like it.
Uh-huh.
And so it's not a pain because I've done it since I've been shaving my legs. Mm-hmm. So what is that when you're, I don't know, 13, 14 years old?
Yeah.
I've shaved them every day to every other day.
Wow.
Then I just,
that's
when
impressive.
I'm pregnant, like when I have
you
a
must
baby.
You go through a lot of razors.
I don't. They're gross. And I miss, and I don't care. Like just that clean, like quick feeling. And I'm sloppy. And I'm like, because I'm not going to be a leg model anytime mm-hmm. soon. The people keep asking, but I have to turn them down. No, but like,
I love you, but no.
Yeah, I love you, but no. It's just not going to work for my schedule. But like, it's not a big deal for me because it's just a small habit I've done for 20 years, right? Karen, I'm glad you love me. My gosh.
I can't stop laughing.
Karen is my friend. But like, a lot of these, sometimes it feels overwhelming.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh no, just a little bit a day. What's mm-hmm. something small I can do
yeah.
today?
Yeah.
I can just sit by somebody at lunch at homeschool. That's your sibling. Sit by somebody at church, sit at the grocery store, smile, put somebody's card away for mm-hmm. them. Just types of those things. With goals, a lot of times people talk about SMART goals.
Mm-hmm.
You can Google it, the acronym, like specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time.
Hi, yeah. I remember. Oh, good job.
They're great. And in the book, Power of Habit,
mm-hmm.
he talks about that sometimes they can be stifling.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they don't allow you to dream big because it's not realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So I was curious. I have one ready, but I didn't know if you have a dream big goal for this next year. Like an unrealistic dream big. I put you on the spot.
You
I didn't
did.
Tell you on purpose.
No. You know, I do have an unrealistic dream big goal, and it's business related. I've always wanted to make $1 million a year.
Whoa, that's awesome.
It's huge. And then someday I hope to get there. I'm not there. I'm not even close to there.
Yeah.
But that's my big, my great, big, huge goal.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. Mine isn't as big. Sorry. Now I'm like, mine sounds.
No, no, it's okay.
But I just signed up for running through Banff, Canada.
So excited
summer.
For you. So cool.
And I'm terrified because I'm not in great shape right now. And so the idea of running through the Canadian mountains, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, what did I
it's
just
It's going to be so
for?
Cool.
So
you're
going
to do awesome.
That's my dream big for right now, this moment. So I'm excited. But
that's awesome.
Yours is really cool.
So just one more quick little thought. There's another book I want to recommend along goal setting.
Oh,
we're running out of time, but it's called The 12-Week Year. And it's a super cool book about setting shorter term goals, like 12-week goals, to help you accomplish your bigger goals. So you have like, okay, I have this great big goal, but in these 12 weeks, what can I do to help me accomplish that big goal? And it's a really cool book. And I highly recommend that for like a system to help you accomplishing your goals.
And then my family checks in with each other weekly during family meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we're always trying to stay on track of our goals.
Yeah.
So anyway, there we go. So we will talk to you guys in a few weeks.
Yes.
And we hope you have
enjoy
a
your
fantastic
holidays.
Christmas. And you'll have to tune in to find out where my family's going on their trip because I won't tell.
It's a big secret.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Called to Homeschool. Be sure to subscribe and we'd love to hear your comments or questions. You can find all our show notes on calledtohome.com.